From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week we're continuing our study of the law of God. But there is a difference in the program format. We usually have a period each day where we have a commentary on some topic of interest. But since I'm gone from Greenville for quite a while on an overseas preaching tour, I'm leaving out the commentaries for the moment and giving us a longer period for each day's Bible study. I trust that you'll stay with us today as we continue to look at the law of God. And today our subject is the law in the life of the believer. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I have been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Sweep o'er you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine, you are precious in my sight. Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name. Precious.
Relationship of born-again believers to the law of God has always been a matter of the most heated controversy in the Christian church. On the one hand, we have legalists. Underline the term. Legalists who teach, in effect, that it is by keeping the law that we gain acceptance with God. At the opposite extreme, we have, and again note the word, we have antinomians, a word that means simply against the law. We have antinomians who hold that the law has been entirely abrogated for Christians, that it is no longer even the rule of life for those who are in Christ because they have been justified freely by grace through faith, and with them the law has nothing whatsoever to do. Now the debate continues today. It appears nowadays that most people are practical antinomians, most professing Christians appear to be practical antinomians. That is, they think they are so free from the law that the law of God has nothing whatsoever to do with them. Their greatest fear seems not to be sin, but possibly being called a legalist. On the other hand, there are still others who emphasize the law so much in salvation, in sanctification, and in service, that they have actually adopted a name that means something very similar to legalist. They have adopted the name theonomist, which means, quite literally, God's law. They are the God's lawists. I was reading the words of one of these writers, and he says, well, it's actually a he and she, and they said, according to those verses, whatever they may call themselves, all who are not keeping the Ten Commandments of God can be certain that God does not love them. Anything contrary is a lie. The sinning Christian has been repeatedly told that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Sadly, nothing could be further from the truth. For their end shall be eternal destruction. Can we despise God's grace by flouting His law and be loved? In the wording of that little quotation, there is a deliberate mingling of the idea of being saved and being sanctified, indeed being an object of God's love, on the basis of how you keep the law. The same writers went on to say, God's love is not unconditional. Now, this is not a little fringe group that is writing this. This is a major part of especially Reformed Christianity today here in the United States. So the battle lines are drawn. The controversy is still raging. On the one hand, those who are practical antinomians, and on the other hand, those who are laying a very, very strong emphasis on the law of God. Now, the matter is not a small one. The issue is so great that it touches the very essence of salvation and Christian living. How are we to be saved? Is there any more fundamental question that you and I have to face in all this world than that? How are we to be saved? How are we to live as Christians?
What is the God-given standard for the Christian's life? How are we to view the law of God? And what part does the law of God have, if any, to play in the lives of born-again, justified believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Under the evil influence, and I do not hesitate to say, certainly in this regard, it has been an evil influence. Under the evil influence of dispensationalism, all too many of God's people shrug off the obligations of the law of God. How often have you personally heard it said, "Oh, that's the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament." How often have you heard it said, when you seek to bring the Word of God and the plain commands of the Word of God to bear upon the life of a professing Christian, "Oh, we are not under law. That does not apply to us." What does the Bible have to say? Surely, that's what we must discover. We read tonight in James 1, verse 25. Notice the wording carefully. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Notice the words carefully. Here James speaks of God's law. And if I could give you the force of the words as James wrote them, he spoke of the perfect law, the one of liberty. The perfect law, the one of liberty. That's the Holy Spirit's description of the law of God. Then he speaks of believers looking into that law, not ignoring it, not shrugging it off and saying, "Oh, that's the Old Testament," but looking into this perfect law of liberty. Then he speaks of them continuing in it, and then he speaks of them doing it. And when he has said all that, he pronounces a blessing on those who look and who continue and who do the law of God. Now I think that would seem to sum up very clearly the position of the believer and the law. However, there are many other statements in the New Testament, and they're called into the controversy. So that tonight it's my job to make it clear to you that what I've just outlined for you from the book of James is in fact the teaching of the whole Bible on this subject. And I'm going to set out to prove one thing tonight. And it's this, that Christians, I'm talking now about real Christians, Christians are called to continual obedience to God's law, and thereby to blessing and liberty. Understand me carefully and plainly. Let there be no mistake about this. What I'm saying is that God Himself calls the people He has redeemed to continual obedience to His law. And through obedience to His law, to blessing and to liberty. Now that's what I want to set out and prove tonight. First of all, can I make this clear to you? You cannot become a Christian by keeping the law of God. You cannot become a Christian by obeying the law of God. God offered life on the basis of keeping the law once only, and that was in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam fell, such was the devastating result of the entrance of sin into humanity, that it was from that point totally impossible for men to fulfill God's law. It was impossible first for them to remove the guilt and the stain of the sin that was already in existence, and it was impossible for them to establish a perfect righteousness before God by keeping the law. When the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he asked him what good thing he would do to inherit eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ answered him like this. He said, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, some people imagine that the Lord Jesus was saying, if you keep the law, you'll be saved. That he was offering this young man life on the basis of law keeping. The Lord Jesus would not have been so cruel. We are told that the Lord Jesus looked in this young man and he loved him. So we are certain he was not dealing with him in irony. He was not dealing with him in judgment. He was dealing with him in kindness. And if the Savior had said to a man who was a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice, "Oh, just provide yourself a perfect obedience to the law and you'll be all right." If the Lord Jesus had indeed been saying that to him as a possibility, it would have been cruel mockery. But no, what he meant was this. Here's a young man who was very, very upright. The hardest thing in the world for him to believe was that he was a sinner. And so, as he came before the Savior, he says, "I keep the law." That's what he said. "I have kept the entire law." It's hard to believe that people talk that way, but I remember witnessing to a young woman whose life was very, very far from perfect. Everybody who worked with her could see that. I remember giving her the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeking to show her her need of salvation. And she simply looked me straight in the face with the blankest of blank stares. And she could not begin to understand her need of a Savior because she had never broken the law of God. No conception of sin and unrighteousness in her as against the absolute holiness of God. And that's where this rich young ruler was. So the Lord Jesus met him on his own ground. And what he said to him meant in effect that the law was the standard, not of some human righteousness, but of a perfect righteousness. And unless that standard were met, the rich young ruler would never enter into life. Always difficult to get men to see their sin. And I must confess that preachers compound the difficulty. I listened to a preacher this morning as I was on my way to church, and I tuned him off and got away off to somebody else because he was only grieving my heart. First of all, I don't think that in addressing God or speaking about God or praying to God, that preachers should bring the language of the gutter and the language of the streets into the pulpit and talk about God saying to you, "You really goofed up." I want to tell you, the God of the Bible doesn't talk that way. But the biggest problem I had was this preacher's definition of sin was so deficient. It was some lack in the man that didn't let him live up to his potential. It was something in the man that hurt one of his neighbors, but there was never any point of reference of the absolute holiness of God and the absolute righteous standard of the law of God. We live in a day when men can glibly say that they're not too bad. Why? Because the pulpit has suddenly gone silent on the holiness of God. The terrible, awful holiness of God. That holiness that is so bright that it eclipses the noonday sun. That holiness that is so blinding that the very angels of heaven cover their face and they cry, holy, holy, holy. Let a sinner get but a glimpse of the holiness of God and he will never again glibly say, I am okay and I am working my way to heaven. No, the Lord Jesus was saying, see your sin. See your inability to fulfill the holy law of God. For unless you have a holiness and a righteousness from the moment of your conception till the moment of your death, unless you have a righteousness and a holiness that is equal to that of the purest archangel in heaven, you will never get to glory by keeping the law. Of course, since we're born in sin and we live in sin, the feeble attempts of unsaved men to keep the law can never, never, never justify their souls. The Word of God uses the law to let men see their need. When they understand their need, sinners condemned, unclean, with God's broken law holding the sword of eternal judgment and the fires of eternal hell over their soul, they will then be driven to seek God's answer where God has revealed it, namely in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open where you may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, this is how Paul expounds the way to heaven. Follow it carefully, starting at verse 19. This is Paul's inspired statement on the way to heaven. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, since the law condemns all the world as guilty by the deeds of the law, that is, by doing the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What is he saying? He's saying the law will show you your sin. It will never save you from your sin. But now the righteousness of God. This is the phrase that Martin Luther, the Augustinian monk, so labored over in his cell in the monastery. The righteousness of God, it terrified him. It seemed to dangle his soul over the lake of fire. He trembled at the righteousness of God. He hated that thought. He hated the God who was righteous because the righteousness of God condemned the sin of Martin Luther. And then God revealed to him very clearly, this is one of the most beautiful and loving phrases in all the Bible, for the righteousness of God is the righteousness which God has provided for sinners, and that he gives to them freely. And so read on, the righteousness of God without the law, that is, without our keeping the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or a sacrifice to atone for sin and put away the wrath of God, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. What is that declaration? Look at verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just or righteous and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.